They say that a tourist is someone who lets things happen to them, and a traveller is someone who makes the most of all those little idiosyncrasies that visits spring up. Well, every town has something to show off, so when we turned up in the port of Rostock in the former East Germany recently, we said, let's see what it's got to offer. Actually, it was quite a pretty town. It wasn't always so attractive. 20 years ago or so, it was grey and dull and swarming with people who spied on each other. Now there's a lovely market selling all sorts of German sausages and stuff you don't need, like English pyjamas. And there's quiet trams and cultured buskers and lovely cafes and pedestrian-only streets. It didn't take long to see the sights. You got anything left from the GDR days? You know, the German Democratic Republic, East Germany. I wondered to the girl in the tourist office, and she looked at her colleagues and pointed at a map showing nothing, actually, and said something about a Stasi museum. The cab driver couldn't wait to drop us off and leave. And getting inside this enormous 1950s bland-looking building was a little bit tricky. We'd been dropped at the old iron gates with disused barriers around the back, you know, where nobody sees it. There were no signs, just a rather innocuous-looking doorway. And inside it smelt of, silence, actually. And I felt my skin creep. You wonder if you're in the right place and if you're allowed in. So we wandered up two flights of magnolia-walled stairs. Still no signs. And opened a doorway. And lo and behold, we're in prison. Welcome to the Stasi Museum, said Dr. Volaholka, the official guardian of the memorial to the victims of former state dictatorship. Yeah. And he laughed at the ridiculously long title to his department. This is where opponents of the former East Germany were kept awaiting trial, on remand, usually 18 months or so. Yeah, at least. It's a scary-looking prison, because the old East German secret police, the Stasi, had gone to an awful lot of effort to spy on their own citizens and keep them in, you know, nervousness, looking over their shoulder all the time. Paranoia springs to mind. Nasty little cells. Total silence from the prisoners. Not much in the way of facility, shall we say. An exercise yard the size of a bus shelter, over which was a cage holding machine-gun-toting guards. Yeah. Photos showing the lengths to which the state spied on itself. Secret cameras wrapped up in holdalls. Bottles holding the rags on which the scent of prisoners was kept, so that the dogs could track them if they ever escaped. None of them did. Offenders included a 13-year-old girl, locked up for drawing on a poster of Stalin. Everything was done to break the prisoner's spirit. Did it work? Sadly, yes it did. And then the photos of 1989 and the collapse of the regime. Every Thursday throughout that autumn, they held a candlelit rally in Rostock, calling for reform. Monday it was Leipzig, Tuesday Mecklenburg. There's something so Germanic about the regular protest every Thursday in Rostock. These German guards and members of the Stasi were used to receiving orders. And by this stage, Gorbachev had told the regime's leaders that the Soviet Union wouldn't send in the tanks to help prop it up. So the regime collapsed eventually through a sort of statewide paralysis. We can't make our own minds up. We're waiting for orders. There weren't any. They didn't know what to do, so they did nothing, and the state collapsed. My father was a Communist Party member, announced Dr. Holker. Not in order to get on, but because he believed in it. And while I was growing up in this regime, it led to some interesting discussions, he said, and arguments. But we're family. I love him. And he smiled. I remember back when I was a student, I'd hitchhiked to Berlin. I'd spent a day on the other side of Checkpoint Charlie, buildings still pockmarked from the wartime fighting, shops with nothing to buy, and at lunchtime I'd found myself at the Humboldt University on Unter den Linden, that's the main street, down near the Brandenburg Gate. I'd gone in there because I thought, well, I'm bound to get something to eat in the student canteen, and probably some interesting conversations from some students. And I collected my lunchtime tray and sat with these German students, who looked at me rather guardedly. They were from Rostock, actually, on the Baltic coast. And no, they'd never been to the West, and they didn't think they'd ever be able to go there either. I thought of them now, at this odd throwback from the communist era. Rostock's a lovely town now. I wonder if they ever think about those old days or the Stasi Museum that is quietly preserved by the state, but preferred to be forgotten by the tourist chiefs of the town. I wonder if everybody else forgets the past. I got my answer in the middle of the walled city of Rostock, because there's a huge medieval church there with an ancient astronomical clock. Next to it was a photographic exhibition which caught my eye, because you don't very often get photo exhibitions in a church, do you? Pictures from old Rostock, 1936, a group of young uniformed teenagers marching under a banner with a cross superimposed with a swastika. The caption was German Christians. Ooh, missus. A militant Nazi church army. And next to it, a Rostock synagogue burning in 1938, and the Jewish businesses smashed in that infamous Kristallnacht. This was rather shocking, actually, to see in a church. But the next set of photos, they were really unsettling. Dated in 1927, there's a youngster proudly marching under his church's banner in some annual Whitsun pilgrimage. You know the sort of thing. You see him all over the place. In 1938, he's standing handsome there with his pretty bride. 1940, there he is in uniform, riding a motorbike with a sidecar through the mud of the Eastern Front, grinning proudly with his mates. The next photo in 1941 shows Russian buildings burning and dead bodies laid out. And finally, there's his wife in 1995, tending the man's ornate grave. He died in 1943. 50 years, there he was, he never had with his family. 50 ruddy years. It was the caption to these photos that made me think, because it said, Catholics und National Socialism? ? Yeah, that's a bit of a dilemma, isn't it? I wish I could have read the German commentary on this family. But the pictures told the story clear as a bell. Silence is complicity. If you see something wrong, it's our duty to speak up against it. This is easy, of course, when your life doesn't depend on silence. But as always, it's not easy to spot the boundaries between good and evil. I was just so pleased we'd visited Rostock and what it gave to us in return. A lesson in always doing the right thing. Always. Because silence is complicity, isn't it?